Hello and welcome to a new edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior. We are the international service of the Argentine Radio, transmitting from the city of Buenos Aires via the shortwaves of WRMI, Miami Radio International, and also via internet on RAE.com.ar. My name is Fernando Farias, and together with sound technician Gloria Sarmiento, we'll be bringing you this show in English for Friday, June 6, 2025. We'll have news, sports, music. Today we'll be paying homage to Estela Raval, who passed away on June 6, a little more than a decade ago. We'll also be sharing a piece produced by Deutsche Welle on the late Pope Francis, on the occasion of the imminent encounter between President Milei and Francis' successor, Leo XIV, that is scheduled to take place this Saturday. President Milei is already in Rome, and this Friday is meeting with Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. But tomorrow he's meeting with Leo. And considering that the influence of Francis is still in the air and will be for many, many years to come, we'll be sharing this on the air today again, this documentary about Pope Francis and his legacy. If you want to get in touch with us, send an email to qslrae@gmail.com or a letter to Maipú Street 555, and then of course Buenos Aires, Argentina. Either way is okay for sending reception reports if you are at the EXA. Let's get started now with the news. These are the headlines. President Javier Milei arrives in Rome and meets today with Italy's Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. Argentina launches a program to encourage the use of undeclared US dollars held outside the banking system. In Bolivia, former President Evo Morales is formally accused of terrorism. Chinese energy giant PetroChina reportedly explores investment opportunities in Argentina. A US court suspends a measure by Donald Trump against foreign students at Harvard University. Argentina defeats Chile and secures the top spot in the South American World Cup qualifiers. And these are the news. President Javier Milei has landed in Rome, the first stop on his international tour of Europe and Israel. Today he will meet with Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, one of his key allies on the global stage. The two leaders are expected to sign an agreement between Argentina's state oil company YPF and Italy's counterpart Eni to jointly develop Vaca Muerta, the major shale oil and gas reserves in Patagonia. On Saturday, Mr. Milei will be received at the Vatican by Leo XIV in the first audience the new Pope grants to a Latin American head of state. The Argentine president will then travel to Madrid, Nice in France, and then Israel before returning to Argentina on June 14. The Argentine government has launched a new initiative to encourage the use of undeclared US dollars held outside the banking system. these funds often stored in safe deposit boxes, offshore accounts, or even in homes, are widely referred to in Argentina as being under the mattress. The program, called Tax Innocence, was presented by the head of Argentina's revenue agency, ARCA, Juan Paso. It loosens thresholds for fiscal evasion and extends deadlines for filing documents. In addition, the origin of many funds will no longer be subject to investigation. With this new law, tax issues can be resolved simply by paying, Paso said. He added that taxation will be based on bill income rather than overall wealth growth. We urge the public to join this new regime. You sign up, you pay, and then you stop worrying, he concluded. The Bolivian government has filed terrorism charges against former President Evo Morales. The move follows the release of an audio recording in which Morales allegedly orders supporters to isolate capital La Paz by blocking major roads and highways. Morales' followers, let's recall, have been staging roadblocks across the country, demanding that Morales be allowed to run in this year's general elections. However, Bolivia's judiciary has ruled out his bid, citing constitutional limits on presidential terms that he already served between 2005 and 2019 when he was overthrown in a coup d'etat. In 2020, he backed his then ally and former minister Luis Arce, who won the presidential election. But the two later became bitter rivals over government policies and leadership of the ruling MAS party. According to Argentine outlet Perfil, Chinese state oil company Petrochina is exploring opportunities to operate in Argentina. Representatives are currently in the country assessing investments, particularly in Vaca Muerta, Argentina's vast shale gas formation in northern Patagonia. Sources say Petrochina aims to open a Buenos Aires branch before the end of the year. The firm is interested in selling oil and gas equipment such as drilling rigs, compressors, and pipeline pumps. It is also said to be eyeing the petrochemical sector and offering after-sales services, according to the report. A U.S. court has blocked a measure promoted by Donald Trump targeting foreign students at Harvard University. The university in Boston argued that the policy was a retaliation for its efforts to keep its academic and ideological independence. On Thursday, Judge Alison Burroughs ruled in Harvard's favor. Trump has clashed with several universities, including Harvard, accusing them of spreading anti-Semitism and liberal ideology. His criticisms come in response to ongoing pro-Palestinian protests on U.S. campuses. And now, sports. Argentina's national football team defeated Chile 1-0 to clinch the top spot in the South American qualifiers for the 2026 World Cup. The match was played at Santiago's National Stadium, where Julian Alvarez scored the only goal in the 16th minute. The Chilean team now sits at the bottom of the table and is likely to miss the World Cup for a third time in a row. The game also marked the international debut of 17-year-old Franco Mastantuono, a River Plate midfielder reportedly scouted by Real Madrid. He's now the youngest player ever to debut for Argentina's national team. Captain Lionel Messi did not start but came on in the second half. Argentina, that had already qualified in the previous round, will host Colombia next Tuesday. Elsewhere, Paraguay beat Uruguay 2-0 and Brazil drew with no goals with Ecuador in coach Carlo Ancelotti's debut with the national team. The 15th round of qualifiers continues today with Venezuela versus Bolivia and Colombia versus Peru. And these were the news on RAE, Radiodifusión Argentina al Exterior.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentina, 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて, Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al Mundo.
RAE, Argentinien in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al Mundo. RAE.
With an unmistakable voice, timeless elegance on stage in a career that spanned decades, Estela Raval left a lasting mark on the hearts of generations across Latin America. She was born in 1935, just outside Buenos Aires City, and Estela began singing at a very young age. But it was in the 1950s that she rose to international fame as the lead vocalist of the Five Latins, or Los Cinco Latinos. Inspired by American vocal harmony groups, Los Cinco Latinos captivated audiences with the vibrant blend of boleros, ballads, and classic Latin rhythms. One of the highlights of that era is the unforgettable song Como Antes, where Estela's warm, rich voice shines through the group's polished harmonies. As the years went by, Estela Raval also found great success as a solo artist. Over the course of her solo career, she recorded 12 albums, building a dedicated fan base not just in Argentina, but in countries like Peru, Panama, Mexico, Chile, and even the US in cities like Miami. Her fame, which began to grow in the early 1950s, followed her for over six decades until her passing in 2012, exactly on June 6 in Buenos Aires City, after a long battle with cancer. Today, on the anniversary of her death, we take a moment to remember one of her most powerful recordings, a song that has become an anthem of strength and perseverance. Here is Estela Raval's unforgettable version of Resistiré, I Shall Prevail, or I Will Resist.
Cuando duerma con la soledad, cuando se me cierren las salidas y la noche no me deje en paz, cuando sienta miedo del silencio, cuando cueste mantenerse en pie, cuando se revelen los recuerdos y me pongan contra la pared. Resistiré, erguida frente a todo. Me volveré de hierro para endurecer la piel. Y aunque los vientos de la vida soplen fuerte, soy como el junco que se dobla, pero siempre sigue en pie. Resistiré para seguir viviendo. Soportaré los golpes y jamás me rendiré. Y aunque los sueños se me rompan en pedazos, resistiré. Toda magia, cuando mi enemiga sea yo, cuando me apuñalen la nostalgia reconozca ni mi voz. Cuando me amenace la locura, cuando en mi moneda salga cruz, cuando el diablo pase la factura, o si alguna vez me faltas tú, resistiré erguida frente a todo, me volveré de hierro para endurecer la piel, y aunque los vientos de la vida soplen fuerte, soy como el junco que se dobla, pero siempre sigue en pie. Resistiré para seguir viviendo, soportaré los golpes y jamás me rendiré. Y aunque los sueños se me rompan en pedazos, resistiré, resistiré.
RAE,
Argentine vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けてアルゼンチン。
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
La RAE, Argentina al mondo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
A man of the people and a friend of the poor. A man who breaks down barriers. A shepherd in the storm.
Cari fratelli e sorelle.
Brothers and sisters.
Buongiorno.
Hello.
When the Pope leads the Angelus prayer from the balcony above St. Peter's Square, the faithful applaud him affectionately. But while many Catholics view him as a reformer, for others, he's not moving fast enough.
Er freut sich an Leuten.
He likes people who stir things up, who don't just stop where they are, but think ahead. And he likes to give them a push.
There's lots of talk, but nothing comes of it.
But this is a man who can be extremely stubborn, who can be extremely faithful to his friends.
He's a man who tries to break down the walls.
This Pope has changed the papacy and changed the understanding of the papacy in a way that would never have been thought possible before Bergoglio, before Francis.
Solemn Mass in St. Peter's Basilica. The opening of the synodal process, the most ambitious reform project of the Catholic Church for generations. The Church is in crisis, battered by child abuse scandals, clinging to the image of a male-dominated institution, and refusing lay people a decisive voice. Now the Pope has called for dialogue, for debate, for clergy and lay people around the world to sit together and work out a common vision of the Church's future.
Meeting and listening to one another is not an end in itself, leaving things as they are. On the contrary, when we enter into dialogue, we question ourselves, we move, and in the end, we are no longer the same as before. We've changed.
Yeah.
There's no predetermined framework, no guidelines. Pope Francis trusts that God will sort everything. And all Catholics are invited to take part in this process over the next 2 years. Agata Lydia Natanya has come to Rome especially for the synod. As a Catholic in Indonesia, she belongs to a religious minority. Her trip was complicated by corona restrictions, but she was determined to take part so as to give the young people of Asia a voice.
They are not given the opportunity to take the lead, or they're just given, okay, you help with this, you help with that.
This young Indonesian has great hopes of Francis. She looks to the Pope for reform.
I think that a lot of young people in Asia maybe are like trying to leave the church because they think, oh, like it's not important for me. Like, but like with this, you know, the message from Pope, how Pope Francis are very warm and very close to young people, I think it will touch more the hearts of young people to bring them together again back into the church.
The German Catholic Church has started its own synodal process. The Pope borrowed the name from there, but not much more than that. Archbishop of Munich, Reinhard Marx, is one of the Pope's closest advisors, and he warmly endorses the efforts of Pope Francis at reform.
This is a huge project. I hope he can see it through. But at his age, he probably thinks, it's in God's hands, not mine, but I'm still pushing it.
However, the cardinal is concerned that Francis starts things and doesn't finish them.
I even discussed this with him once. His cardinal advisors are very open with him. I said, we also have to conclude stages, Holy Father. He attaches great importance to the fact that processes get started, and he says, not too soon, not too soon. But he tends to get processes started and then trust that the result will be revealed along the way.
The Maria 2.0 initiative feels excluded from these processes. They've sent cards to Pope Francis from all over Germany. Those of Maria 2.0 are Catholics who demand the same status for women in the church as men have. But Pope Francis is opposed to women being ordained priests.
Und das ist halt einfach ja immer wieder so ernüchternd, dass er halt trotzdem auch.
It's so disappointing that he still belongs to this bogged down male club that doesn't really want to achieve equality.
Gleichberechtigung erreichen will.
When he was elected, both women had great hopes of the new pope.
For
me, it's simply a question of justice. If men and women are created equal by God, and the creation narrative even says that he created them in his image, the image of God, why should a patriarchy last forever when both man and woman are part of God's image?
Everyone agrees that Pope Francis is gracious, an attentive listener, with a big heart and without airs. But there the agreement ends. For some, he's too conservative. For others, too progressive. Inés San Martín is an Argentinian journalist who covers the Vatican for Crux, one of the leading Catholic news sites in the U.S. San Martín has known the Pope since he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires. She has accompanied him on many trips abroad and says he can't be pigeonholed.
He's very pro-migrant, but he's also very pro-life. He is completely against the death penalty, but he does actually believe that the priesthood should only be for males.
During his time as Archbishop in Buenos Aires, Bergoglio was considered politically conservative. On the other hand, he was unconditionally committed to the poor in the slums.
Whenever it was his time to go on vacation, what he would do is see who among his priests wanted to take off and go somewhere, and he would replace them in their position. Most of the time, he would end up in the slums of Buenos Aires, just replacing the bichedo priest or the priests who are known for working and living in the slums of Buenos Aires.
San Martin had her first direct encounter with Bergoglio as Pope in 2013 in Brazil.
I see him, I'm right standing right in front of him. I'm like, holy father, I want to give you a hug. And he's just like, come over and get it. So I went and I got a hug from the Pope.
The journalist is proud of her fellow Argentinian.
For us in Latin America, especially the first few years, it meant that we had someone representing the continent to the world who suddenly wasn't a dictator, who suddenly wasn't a corrupt person, who wasn't just a really good soccer player.
Even more than 1,000 kilometers away in Berlin, people are watching what the Pope is doing. Christoph Strack is Deutsche Welle's religious affairs correspondent. He was in Rome when Bergoglio was elected Pope. March 13th,
2013.
The doors open.
Bergoglio. Yeah.
Bergoglio is a Latin American.
What can we expect in terms of content?
The name a Pope chooses is always an indication. The choice of Francis means he'll be pushing much harder for the Church to stand on the side of the poor, for the Church to stand on the side of those who have no voice in any international forum.
Christoph Strack says people had great hopes of the new Pope because the Catholic Church has an enormous reform backlog. However, the big decisions still haven't been made.
He's not a man who pounds on the table or says, basta, I'm signing this and everybody has to do this or that now. Instead, he's a pope who creates opportunities for argument, for dialogue, for uncertainty, and then waits to see what will come of it.
Pope Francis has highlighted three vital issues: the situation of the poor and of refugees, interreligious dialogue, and climate protection.
It's about our duty to preserve creation and the common home that we will pass on to young people. The religions that cultivate a contemplative and non-exploitative attitude are called to listen to the groaning of Mother Earth, who is suffering violence.
The Pope is able to address international forums because he's not only a church leader, but also head of a state. Vatican City may be the smallest country in the world, with an old-fashioned electoral monarchy, but the Holy See has a lot of moral clout internationally, and even has the world's smallest military, the Swiss Guard. German Chancellor Angela Merkel on an official visit to the Vatican. When in Rome, heads of government regularly visit the Pope. He often uses the opportunity to highlight moral issues underlying politics. At a public event later that afternoon, Pope Francis condemned armed conflicts in various parts of the world.
I want to emphasize, war is a failure of politics towards humanity, a shameful surrender, a defeat by the forces of evil.
The Pope's commitment to the poor finds concrete expression in his organizing help for the homeless on his doorstep. Carlos Santoro is a professional civil servant. But in his spare time, he's been helping the homeless in St. Peter's Square for almost 40 years.
Non è pronto? Vabbè, non te ne andata qua allora,
As a member of the Sant'Egidio community, with its headquarters in Rome, Santoro is something like a volunteer social worker for the Pope. Rosanna is one of his proteges. The Pope has set up washrooms and a clinic for all the homeless.
So you got the vaccine where Pope Francis said?
Two jabs.
Two.
Pfizer,
right. And now we're all better, all vaccinated, right?
Better now.
That's good.
This old palace is located directly on St. Peter's Square. It was slated to become a luxury hotel, but Pope Francis gave it to the Sant'Egidio community. It offers 30 homeless people a bed for the night.
This is the room of Silvano, and the first day, the first night he slept here, for him it was very strange because he told me that he looked outside the window and he saw the corner where he had been sleeping for 10 years there, over there. So he said it was a miracle for him and it was something wonderful that he couldn't imagine before.
Rome in the evening. The tourists are back in their hotels. The homeless people gather at the entrance to the shelter. Rosanna is among them, waiting to go to her room. The shelter opens at 6 p.m. The Pope has also stopped by and had a meal with the homeless.
It was clear that Pope Francis felt at home with us and with the poor. And he said, when someone asks you why so much beauty, I mean, this so beautiful place is given to the poor, please reply to these people that the poor deserve it, like every one of us, because the poor deserve something very beautiful, not our waste. So they deserve what we dream.
But the shelter can't accommodate all the homeless people. Many camp out in the colonnade around St. Peter's Square, knowing nobody will drive them away. Another of the Pope's priorities is dealing with the child abuse scandal. Hans Zollner is a Jesuit priest and professor of psychology at the Gregorian University. He's a leading expert on safeguarding children and preventing sexual abuse. He's been a member of the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors since it was set up in 2014. Professor Zollner travels around the world giving workshops on how to recognize and prevent child abuse. And people also come to Rome to learn from him.
So here, we ask you to come here, if you don't need one.
One of these is Father Matt Duclos from the Diocese of Albany in upstate New York, where there have been a number of cases in the past.
To be able to help the victims who have come forward be able to heal and acknowledge what they've been through, and also help the priests make sure that this does not happen again in the future. Being able to implement the right policies and procedures among the priests, especially young priests in our parishes, to make sure that everyone is safe when they interact with priests and they go to church.
More and more cases are coming to light. In France, a commission of inquiry reported in October that over 300,000 children have been victims of sexual abuse since 1950 in the French church alone. Pope Francis is shaken and ashamed. He admits that for a long time, the church and he himself wasn't able to focus on the victims.
I think that's a generational problem. There are people of his generation who didn't really have the issue of abuse on their radar. They also had their familiar mechanisms to confront it, dealing with it on the spiritual level, believing it could be solved by praying.
But Professor Zeuner says Francis has achieved a dramatic learning curve. The Pope listens to the victims of abuse with compassion and remorse. However, he still hasn't found a convincing way of dealing with the cover-up.
Quite a few bishops have been removed from office because it was shown that they hadn't acted in accordance with church regulations. The problem is, and this is also a question for the Pope, why were 10 bishops in Poland, for instance, made to resign in recent months, but there have been no consequences in Germany for bishops committing similar offenses?
Keine weiteren Konsequenzen angeordnet wurden.
Though the child abuse scandal has shaken the church and triggered a mass exodus in Europe and North America, the pilgrims who gather in St. Peter's Square don't seem to attach any blame to Pope Francis. His enormous popularity is evident.
I think he's a very progressive pope, and that he does a lot for the Christian people.
I think he's innovating. He's another kind of pope, and I hope he's doing well in this.
He's being so inclusive and open to any changes that matters in the world. That's why I really like him.
He goes against a lot of what the traditional Catholic views are, but I feel it brings a lot of good and unity to especially mending rifts with other religions.
He seems to have fans everywhere, including Berlin. Here in the western part of the city, in an Italian restaurant, Papa Francesco keeps watch over everything. Salvatore Triscari is a huge fan of the Pope. The chef thinks Francis is more modern and more active than his predecessors. He shows us his favorite Pope picture. What he likes best, he says, is that Pope Francis is so happy and laughs a lot.
For me, this is the important picture. It usually hangs up there. And no matter where you stand in the room, the Pope points to you, and it's as though he's smiling at you. That's how he communicates with people. It's what I love about the picture. The pictures are all beautiful, but this one's special.
Under Pope Francis, a lot of things are suddenly possible that weren't possible before, provided local priests have the courage to interpret the rules from Rome freely, or even to break them.
What animals do we have here? Dogs. Are there any cats? And an anaconda? I was afraid there'd be an anaconda. Oh, there we have something different from a dog. A cat. With green eyes. Oh, wonderful. Super.
Father Hirse is blessing people's pets. No problem at all under church law. Animals, cars, and even warships can be blessed.
In this parish, we've always blessed people on Valentine's Day. We've never asked, are you gay or straight? Those who come forward are blessed. If people are divorced and remarried, I don't see that in their eyes either. Ultimately, I'm not interested in that anyway. I can bless anyone. If we can bless animals, surely we can bless any human. What's this nonsense?
By opening his church to the queer community, Father Hüsel is stretching church law. But he hasn't been reprimanded for it. Back in Rome, the Sant'Egidio community is heavily involved in interreligious dialogue. In October, they invited representatives of Islam and Judaism, Buddhists, Hindus, Sikhs, and Shintoists to Rome. Bishop Bedford Strom has come to Rome to represent the German Lutheran Church. The ecumenical movement, seeking unity among all Christians, is actively supported by Pope Francis.
I had the opportunity to talk to him personally at his residence, and I immediately felt a deep connection. I said to him, "Dear Brother Francis, I don't think he needs the grand titles. It's the person, the commitment, the love of Jesus Christ that's important. It doesn't require titles."
The closing event with the Pope takes place in the Colosseum.
I think it's the only time in history that that ever happened.
He's a special man also.
Yeah, no. He's a great bridge person.
We also meet Carlos Santoro again, the volunteer from the homeless shelter. His community is hosting this event, and Carlo is acting as press officer. Inés San Martín is also here, the Vatican correspondent from Crux. Typically, Pope Francis arrives in a small car. Dialogue with other religions is extremely important to this Pope, especially in times when populists are sowing division and stirring up conflicts.
Dear friends, we are on this path, each with their own religious identity, to cultivate peace in the name of God by recognizing each other as brothers and sisters. This is the right way. There are those who want to divide us and provoke conflict, but we believe it's important to strive for peace with one another, never again against one another.
Francis is the first pope to welcome representatives of Islam or Judaism as his equals. His vision is of a world at peace.
Rai, Argentine vers le monde.
Rai, Argentina to the world.
Rai, 世界に向けて Argentina.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
La Rai, Argentina al mondo.
Rai, Argentinian in die Welt.
Rai, Argentina al mundo.
Coming up, the Egg Supplement of every week with interesting hearings, suggestions for shortwave fans out there. But that will come after some music, and we'll have now a cover version of the classic track by Elton John, Sorry Seems to Be the Hardest Word, in Spanish by the super talented multi-instrumentalist, former member of Serú Girán, Pedro Aznar. In Spanish, this song is called Es Difícil Pedir Perdón. Sorry seems to be the hardest word by Pedro Aznar.
Que quieras escuchar cuando este fuego me desvela, pero despierto solo una vez más. ¿Cómo lograr verte de nuevo. Oh, como de recobrar tu corazón. Cómo aceptar que todo ha muerto. Ya no hay forma de pedir perdón. Qué mal, esta absurda y triste historia que se pone cada vez peor. Qué mal, porque ni puedo hablarte. Temo que es así. Ya no hay forma de pedir perdón.
I just wanted to correct the name in Spanish. It's Ya no hay forma de pedir perdón. There is no way of asking for forgiveness. That would be the literal translation of sorry seems to be the hardest word, which isn't exactly the same thing. But sometimes when you adapt English lyrics into Spanish, well, you have to make concessions to make it fit in what you are trying to sing. But Aznar, Pedro did a magnificent job of adapting this classic by Elton John to Spanish and playing it. Aznar is a multi-instrumentalist. He's known as the bass player for Serú Girán and Pat Metheny, but he's a very talented musician in many other instruments, including singing. He studied in Berkeley in the U.S. and so on. And well, this is his cover version of Elton John. Ya no hay forma de pedir perdón. And we have the DX supplement of every week produced by Arnaldo Sly. We begin with Australia with a new commercial shortwave station that has been reported on the air. Bay Islands Radio, operating on 5,045 kHz, was logged on May 18 between 05:35 and 06:35 UTC time, transmitting from Russell Island off the coast of Queensland. The station plays a selection of classic hits from artists like The Who, Jimi Hendrix and Aerosmith. According to the station's local charm, a commercial for Russell Island taxi service was heard, complete with a local phone number, giving the access a rare glimpse into truly community-based broadcasting. Brazil Island is the largest of the southern Moreton Bay Islands, situated about 43 kilometers southeast of Brisbane, nestled between the mainland and North Stradbroke Island. It measures roughly 8 kilometers in length and 3 kilometers in width. Next, we have exciting news from Europe. Luxembourg is back on the shortwaves. Radio Onda has started test transmissions from Junglingsta. I'll say that again. My German is far from good. Junglingsta, broadcasting on 6,140 kilohertz. The test schedule runs from 0600 to 1600 hours UTC time on weekdays and from 0600 hours to 1900 hours UTC time on weekends. This marks the return of the legendary RTL transmission site in Junglingsta to the shortwave dial. The radio on the transmitter, operating at 1,000 watts, is a major milestone for this Brazilian community radio station based in Belgium. It already broadcasts via DAB Plus on channel 12B in the Brussels region, and now aims to cover all of Europe via the shortwaves. Originally licensed in the Netherlands, the station team ultimately turned to Luxembourg for better regulatory conditions. The country's minister delegate for media and connectivity, Elisabeth Margu, swiftly approved the license. The shortwave transmitter was made possible thanks to amateur radio operators from Broadcasting Center Europe, who provided installation support at the historic Junglingsta site. Although the shortwave signal now beams from Luxembourg, the station's studios remain located at a train station in the Lekken district of Brussels, Belgium. Radio Onda's contact address is Boxtel Station, Avenue Emile Boxtel, 1020, Brussels, Belgium. And that was the DX supplement of every week that is produced by Arnaldo Slaen. Before signing off, we've got time for a little more music, and this is a track that I particularly love. A band that I really love. Virus Sin Disfraz, which means no custom.
Yeah.
RAE, Argentina al mundo. RAE, Argentina 面向世界.
RAE, Argentina vers le monde.
RAE, Argentina to the world.
RAE, 世界に向けて Argentina.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
RAE, Argentinian in die Welt.
RAE, Argentina al mundo.
And with this, we come to the end of today's edition of RAE, Radio Difusión Argentina al Exterior, for Friday, June 6, 2025. The sound technician for today was Gloria Sarmiento, and the host, yours truly, Fernando Farias. We hope you enjoyed our program. We wish that you have an excellent weekend. Join us on Monday for a new show of RAE in English. Thank you. Hasta la próxima.